Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Cowboys CanFan Show. We are 1 week away from actual Cowboys football, baby. Yes. And with all the talk going in all these media platforms, we wanted to dive in and see if the Cowboys have gotten better or worse at every positional group.
And then we also look at the X-factor player for both offensive and defensive position groups, basically the whole side of the field. Who is going to be the biggest X factor for the Dallas Cowboys in the 2024 season?
And when we talk about belly X factors, our coach DC, Mike Zimmer, had made some comments upon his exit from the Minnesota Vikings. So we take a look at that. We have some laughs, some gas, and we tell those Eagle fans to go you know what. All and more on tonight's episode of
Cowboys CanFan Podcast. Crack them if you got them, son.
Sometimes you
got
to go off book. Welcome Sunday service.
Time to exercise your demons, Cowboys Nation. Yee-hoo!
I know one way to exercise my demons, baby.
Oh.
Crack them if you got them, son. Woo! Oh, yeah, baby.
Crack them if you got them.
Crack them if,
you got them.
On this fine Sunday service edition of the Cowboys CanFan Show, the last Sunday for the next 5 or 6 months without NFL football, fellas, and that makes me feel delighted. It makes me feel delectable. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That makes me feel delectable.
Delectable. And if you're in here looking right now, you're seeing Adam already up to some camera.
We were only sitting here for 30 minutes prior. Well,
hey, look, if something's going wrong.
He's got a tinker.
If something's going wrong with the camera,
You got to fix it.
You're like a Laggy McGee right now. I don't get what's going on.
I'm just doing the robot move.
But you're right. Here we go. Fucking week one, baby.
Week one coming up. No more Sundays without football. College football kicked off this weekend. I was watching a few games. But next week, this Thursday, is our bread and butter, the NFL season kickoff, man. And I'm excited. Even though the Cowboys aren't playing until Sunday, I'm just jacked up that by Thursday, we're going to be live streaming NFL football. How sweet is that?
What's our schedule here? We're doing the Thursday. Thursday and a Friday game.
We'll start Wednesday. With our main event.
Main event.
Cowboys CanFan main event show. Going to break down week one. Going to go over the schedule. Going to do a bunch of that stuff. But then our streaming schedule for NFL games, we're going to kick off with the NFL opener, Baltimore Ravens at Kansas City Chiefs. You know we're streaming that. And then we have to stream the Friday night game because it's two rivalries.
Yeah.
We got the Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles, even though the game is played in Brazil.
No, I'm not asking for an answer right now. However, who, if you had to pick a team to win, it's got to be Green Bay, right?
Against the Eagles?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm never picking the Eagles.
No.
All day. No matter who they play.
All day.
I'm hoping the Packers.
But we're out there as Jerry Jones' scouts. So we're going to be taking notes on players and bringing that information back to Jerry Jones.
Well, and we did live stream the Baltimore Ravens Kansas City Chiefs game last season for the AFC Championship matchup. And it was fun. Like, our wheelhouse isn't necessarily the AFC, so we don't talk about the AFC that much. But you got two AFC Championship rivalries that played last year to see who's going to the Super Bowl, having they're running it back for the opener. So we gotta live stream it. So I'm excited for that game.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of live streaming week one. But on today's show, a few quick notes about what we're going to be talking about. The Dallas Cowboys, did they get better or worse? We're going to go through each position courtesy of Blogging the Boys, as well as a Mike Zimmer kind of reminisces about his last days in Minnesota. And I think that it'll be a fun talk because I love Mike. I love the hard nipples of Mike Zimmer, and I love Mike Zimmer himself
What about his gut?
Oh, it's solid.
It's a solid gut.
Very solid. Like, probably hard as steel. Put years into that gut, and you got to respect a man for the diligence of that. But some of the things that he said could be make you worry about him a little. But let's see. We'll go over that together. And then also, I mean, shit. At some point, we got to set this Can Fantasy Football Draft. But there'll be more stuff we talk about. In fact, I just found a kind of a good article that maybe we pop up with. But that's the docket for the show.
I like it, man. I like talking. That's a good docket.
I fixed everything, boys. We're good.
Good work. The one thing that makes me want to talk about if the Cowboys got better or worse, I saw this article come out, and it was talking about how the person that wrote the article, I can't even remember because I got so mad and just had to reshare it, about how the Cowboys' offense has gotten a lot worse and they don't expect them to be in the top five of offense output this year. And I just found that to be so dumb because if you look at the adds and losses from the Cowboys, just strictly their offensive room, do you feel like they got worse in any case?
I guess the only one would be running back, only because I think TP20's ceiling was higher, but when it actually played out, they were a pretty mediocre
running game. So if you look at Tony Pollard's production last season, I don't think that's going to be hard to replicate. Maybe it's not one player that replicates that production,
right?
But I don't think losing Tony Pollard was as big a knock as to fall out of the top five in scoring offense. Like, the Cowboys were a top scoring offense last season, and I just don't see a big enough change to make them seem like they're going to be worse. Losing Michael Gallup,
non-factor.
Jalen Tolbert should be able to match that.
Yep.
Losing Tony Pollard, sure, he had a high ceiling, but he didn't meet that high ceiling last year. And then you lost Tyron Smith, perennial all-pro, Pro Bowl type guy. He was on his backside of his career, he was injured a bunch of times last year. So yeah, there's going to be a little bit of lost there, having Guyton go in. And then you had Tyler Biadasz, the center.
Yep.
And you got Beebe in there. So I don't know there was as much fall off as a lot of people outside of Cowboys Nation are hoping.
Well, and even some people in Cowboys Nation too, probably weirdos.
Well, speaking of Cowboy Nation and a bunch of weirdos, we just want to say what's up, chat. I'm going to go through a couple quick little messages before
Hell
we
get yeah.
So we got Captain Cowboy says, let's go get Dallas Cowboys. We got a boy, Stephen White, saying hi, y'all, with a cheers, crack him if you got him. He also says El Paso, Texas here, smoke him. That's for AJ. And then we got Ultra Cowboy saying, even Micah Parsons' brother says that the Cowboys should do what it takes to draft Shedeur Sanders. I didn't know Micah Parsons' brother was a draft analyst, but whatever. After one good game. And then L. Just a straight up name saying L. Rico Dowdle could match TP's production.
Exactly.
I think so. And also, you missed the most important one from Bandwagon Baba. I know you already put it up.
Sorry, I did. And then Bandwagon Baba says, love your shirt, AJ. And then this is probably to Anther Eye, but Ultra Cowboy says, a lot of beer it takes for that belly.
Yes.
So it was either Ultra. Me no, he's or, talking about Zimmer.
I think he's talking Zimmer. About Zimmer.
Or
so
me.
Fuck you, Ad.
Or you.
Or me.
Why?
I don't know. I was Sometimes I look like a chunko.
I think that was a Zimmer comment. Yeah, but yeah, was. But okay, fat Seamus, add me or you. the belly boy. And it's clearly not Ad. Ad's like almost got a six pack, so Ad was just trying not to make me feel bad.
Well, here's
but he had to bring it up.
Well, because I didn't know
Ultra wouldn't do me like that.
I didn't know you guys were talking about Zimmer.
I know you were in nerd boy mode.
I was trying to fix the Millennium Falcon, and guess what? You saw me repatching everything.
I did.
And it wasn't that. It was a setting on the camera was flicks.
Who is this Patch? We got Patch Adams over here.
No, rest in peace, Robin Williams.
Patch Adams. It works on multiple levels.
It does, but I'm just saying rip. And he does. And yes, he is confirming that that was for Zimmer.
Thanks, obviously. Ultra. I knew you wouldn't do me like that.
Well, chat. Thanks for joining us. But we're gonna need to hear your thoughts too as we go through this list, gentlemen. This is the full 2024 roster breakdown. From, I'm going to call him our boy at Blogging the Boys, Dan Rogers.
Yeah, I like that. That's just an easy name, Dan Rogers.
Easy name, and he's probably a pirate with the last name is Rogers. But the areas where the Cowboys have gotten better and worse, and in true CanFan fashion, we're basically just going to, I mean, we could do this ourselves, but we're going to go through the list, say our point of view, not read theirs, maybe read a little.
At Danny Phantom 24, we're going to phantom his whole article. We're just going to take the headlines.
And then also, I think what's really cool is they put their little perspective. It's actually not really long, so but obviously there's a lot of positions.
So this is going to go into every position and just pretty much sum up if it was got better or worse.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just zoom in here, Ad, because
You can either zoom in, or what we'll do next time is just even get your. You don't have to fully do your screen. You could just go a little bit smaller, but that looks good.
This year's Dallas Cowboys roster is interesting to say the least. That's his theme.
That's his start.
So it's of course it's going to start off with quarterback, and this is one we can kind of just glance over. It stayed the exact same.
Yeah, smidge better is what their rank is.
Smidge better because we got Trey Lance.
Yeah, but they had him last year too.
But he came through halfway through the season. Now he has an entire.
No, he didn't. He was traded at training camp last year. They had him the whole year last year.
Did we see training?
No, we didn't see him, but he got traded to the Cowboys during training camp.
Why did I think he came in like midway through the season?
Because you never saw him.
Yeah.
You're right.
It might as well. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Prescott, same old, same good old, I would say. And the only difference here that Rodgers mentions is Trey Lance has had a little bit more time, so that's why he says it's a smidge better, and I think, sure.
And how much... Can you put that in as your third? Like he's your emergency quarterback.
He could have got 100% better, and it would still be like the same.
If he didn't pass Cooper Rush, it's the exact same to me.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's like you could look at it as like a letter grade? Like he gave the quarterback position an A, and then it just says smidge better or a smidge better.
So I like a smidge better.
A grade A.
Yeah. Smidge better.
Smidge better.
I'm gonna start using that as my grade. Smidge better.
Smidge better.
That one's basic, though. That's that quarterback. Yeah, we can move on from that.
Next up here is, of course, the running back room. And interestingly, he says worse. What are your guys' thoughts?
I don't think it did. Worse? I don't think it did because sure, if you talk about the ceiling of Tony Pollard, it seems like it got worse. But if you actually dive into Tony Pollard's stats from last year, they were very underwhelming.
Totally. Yeah.
So Tony Pollard might have needed that Ezekiel Elliott to really get to his point or be that guy, or they should have given Rico Dowdle the ball more to increase Tony Pollard's production. And it's one of those things, it seems weird that he could have better production on less carries, but I think that's the type of player Tony Pollard is. He didn't show last year, for the Cowboys at least, that he could be a bell end running back. So I don't know. I find it hard to say that they got worse. I feel kind of even planed on this one.
Yeah.
Elle in the chat says a smidge worse.
And see, I'll take that. If you would have said a smidge worse, that would have been funny.
Go ahead, AJ.
Just reading his stats here, he had 252 carries, just over 1,000 yards, 1,005 yards, 4.0 average, 6 touchdowns, and I think that's where we probably say he didn't reach his potential for that.
That can be matched by, I feel like Rico Dowdle could have those exact same stats.
Yeah. Bruce Vaughn's going to have those stats this year.
Well, according to you, if we dive back into, you might 6. Have.
6.3.
You might have. Adds crazy 6.3 yard per carry for Deuce Vaughn.
But I was also going thinking that he wasn't going to get as many. I went down a rabbit hole. I get it. But I do think that seeing Deuce Vaughn in preseason, you know, if he can get into rotation and he can do, if he can run the way he ran in preseason, which is going to be a little bit harder when you're running against ones.
He ran good in the preseason last year too, though.
Right. So I don't think they've gotten worse because, as you mentioned, Tony Pollard's numbers weren't that great. And now we got Zeke back and Dowdle. If Dowdle is our true number one,
I don't think there's a number one on the team. I'll say no, that.
But if Dowdle does become our number one, we know it's going to be a running back committee room or a running back by committee. You either have Zeke or Dalvin Cook that's going to play that second, that RB2 or that co-RB position, and then whether or not Lepke or Deuce Vaughn gets the remaining reps. I don't know. I don't think we've gotten worse.
It's really going to come down to how BB and Guyton perform. Now, I know Guyton's left tackle, so that's a little bit less for the run game, but still, if those two guys come out and they're above average in terms of just across the league linemen, they're above average. That's a very promising, and I think that helps to obviously impact the running game in a positive way. By the way, I have got through my first season on Madden 25 with the Dallas Cowboys. Okay,
did you win the Super Bowl?
No, we got. I don't even want to say what happened in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Well, we got knocked out by
Green Bay,
Eagles.
Hey, no.
Oh yeah. No, AJ. I don't. How is it? I haven't bought it yet. I don't know if I will buy it.
It's Madden, baby. It's the same old. They add a little. They like put more sparkles on everything, and the game is pretty much the same.
Yeah. Figs.
But in that season,
did you say figs?
Yeah,
figures. Zeke was the best running back in the NFC.
Because of you or because of better simulation?
Did you play every game? Simulation. Yeah. I'm coaching right now, so I'm doing a lot of simulation.
What were Zeke's stats in your simulated?
Oh, he had 1,300 rushing yards, roughly 10 touchdowns. Or no, he had 13 touchdowns. So he had an amazing season, which is, it's not going to happen, but if it does, hell yeah.
Hell, we'll take that. The only reason I'm saying that I don't think it got much worse is because, like you just read out, Tony Pollard's stats from last year. I feel like even if it's between two guys and with the same amount of carries, they match production. 6 touchdowns shouldn't be that hard to get. I feel like Zeke gets more than that himself.
Yeah.
And then a 4-point yards per carry is pretty standard in the NFL. That's kind of the benchmark.
Yeah.
And then 1,000 yards. If he would have had 1,500 yards or 1,600 yards with double digit touchdowns, his stats in 2022, Tony Pollard's stats in 2022 were pretty impressive with his lack of touches.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I agree with what Dan Rogers says. Worse, it may not be as bad as we think, but it also could be a train wreck. It could go either way, but it could also be better than everyone thinks. So,
exactly.
L says, actually, with Dalvin Cook, I think it's a smidge better.
Hey, there he goes.
That's right. And technically,
you need Vikings Cook.
Yeah. And Cook's not technically on the roster as of yet. Well, yes, he is, but he's a practice squad player. But he'll be there.
Danny Watson says, you also have to take into account that we didn't have a run game at all last year.
Yeah.
Which is true.
So if that leans that it should get better, it should be better.
And then Ultra says Zeke is trash. So if it's going to be worse and we didn't have a run game last year, that's not great. We can't go into another year with the type of run production that we had. So if anything, our run game is going to produce more touchdowns or it's going to produce more first downs for us that we didn't see last year.
Or it'll be just as it is. I can't really see it getting worse because it really wasn't off the charts last year.
Yep.
What would be even considered worse? It'd have to be awful. Because last year, the running game was pretty bad. It wasn't good at all. It really didn't exist.
You couldn't lean on it
at all.
Now, the bigger question is if we see a higher producing run game, is that going to take away from guys like CeeDee Lamb?
That's fine. That's fine to have happen.
It would. Here's the thing. The run game needs to perform on third downs and fourth downs when you decide to go for it and more in the red zone. And I don't really see that taking away from CeeDee.
If anything, it might open his game better.
It could, yeah.
Or as Ant says, why are they throwing it on first?
Yeah.
Run the ball and get the 4 yards.
Yeah, but they couldn't last year.
I know.
Last year, throwing on first down was probably their best option.
Better option.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's how I drew it.
Big Mike.
Tight ends.
What y'all think? We traded away Peyton Hendershot, who was in the tight end room last year.
Yeah.
And you got a couple guys that are first-timers on the Cowboys 53-man roster with John Stephen Jr.'s and Brevin Spanford. So I like the unknown. I think John Stevens Jr.'s was better than Peyton Hendershot. And yep. I like Brevin Spanford's size. So we'll see.
And his name.
I'm going to say
BSF.
BSF. Yeah. I'll say, honestly, slightly better because Ferguson's got another year under his belt. So does Schoonmaker. Ferguson had, I don't know, some people might say breakout year, some people might not. But I think if he didn't break out last year, he'll break out this year because he's in his third year now with the boys, right?
Yep.
And this is the year where players really start to put all those pieces together and start to, I don't know, they would be a legit veteran in their third year,
And Dak has that comfortability with him now.
Yep.
He's not an unknown. Like, going into last year, Ferguson was still a little bit of an unknown. They went out and drafted a tight end in the second round for a reason because they weren't sold. I bet you if they knew what kind of guy he was going to be,
they wouldn't have
drafted Schoonmaker in the second. So I think they're trending in the right direction to be better.
Yep. And also, John Stevens Jr., we didn't get to see him last year, but last year and this year, he was very impressive in camp. So let's see what happens.
I just don't like that Phantom 24 is very wishy-washy on his, be a little bit, a smidge here, slightly, mostly the same, but with possibly, give me a stronger statement at the end.
Give me a hard line.
Yeah, give me a hard line.
Yeah, but he can't be wrong with these bullshit answers.
Wide receiver. Yeah. It's true.
TBD? Oh, tell me he did not. No! Yeah. Tell me he did just not use my acronym.
TBD, but shouldn't be any worse. So
don't write an article without giving me something. Okay?
To be determined? Well, no shit. Every position is to be determined.
This is pre-ranking. Come on, Rodgers.
There hasn't been a single play. There hasn't been a single play in regular season. Everything you're saying is to be determined, but you have to still make a suggestion.
Yeah, and the biggest change, really, because CD, Cooks, there's our 1-2. The biggest change is swapping Gallup for Tolbert.
But shouldn't be any worse.
Shouldn't be any worse. No, look, when you have CD signed now, multi-year contract, that's all out of the way. You hope he doesn't regress, and after he gets paid, he just starts eating.
Right?
Yeah.
But our other two players are... who's the hell's Jalen's?
Jalen.
Oh, the two Jalen's, Tolbert and Brooks. Okay. Yeah, and
Brooks and
Brooks will Tolbert. Be interesting. Flournoy, rookie. I mean, and then there's Turpin.
But read his last sentence here. Add that to a better rapport between Prescott and Cooks and this group.
Michael Rapaport.
Rapport between Prescott and Cooks and this group should be an upgrade over last year's cast. So he says it should be an upgrade, and then right below he says to be determined.
But shouldn't be any worse.
But shouldn't be any worse. Yeah, wishy-wash.
I'm calling upgrade. Just, again, nothing. We didn't lose anyone.
Gallup sucked significant. Last 2 years.
Gallup sucked. He retired. But we love him. And I believe, again, Tolbert's in his third season. So this is his kind of make-or-break moment for the boys. And I would assume he's going to want to either secure that spot or play so good that someone else is going to pay him more than we can afford. Like that's basically what you're looking for if you're a Tolbert, right? I think he's still got one more year on his contract.
He's on his third year right now.
But still, you're playing for that payday either with the Cowboys or with another team.
Yeah, you want to put something on tape because he hasn't done much his first 2 years. So again,
we said it last year, it's a make or break year for him, but this is truly...
third year is usually your make or break year, really.
Yeah, he needs to put up the numbers.
Because he still went into the season last year as the fourth option, right? This year he's the third option. Gallup's not there. He's going to get snaps.
I also think with Jalen Brooks and Flournoy and some other guys who are in the practice squad who maybe get a chance and they show out, we have some guys who could compete with Tolbert week to week, and if they start to outplay him, he could lose his third spot or not always be the guy who's number three. So I like that competition. And rookies, you always, who knows how they're going to perform. Some guys who get drafted in the top 10 don't perform, and some guys who get drafted in, round 5, 6, and 7, which is where Flournoy was, they actually come out and perform better than anyone expects. So.
Well, super chat from and your battery is low. You
read the super chat.
Super chat from Skeptical Fan, a $2 super chat says,
oh, man, thank you.
They're better if we win against the 49ers,
which CanFan will be at live.
Yeah, we will be there live and in person.
I was looking at ticket prices today.
It's weird. It's like when you say
they're expensive.
Candyman, and Candyman appears when you talk about the 49ers.
Hey yo,
Nate Dogg rolls in.
Just appear like right after.
I do want to do a little side quest here.
Okay.
Pretty crazy, their first overall pick, Ricky Purcell or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Got shot trying to get his Rolex stolen, fought off the guy and shot the guy, like battled for the gun, got shot, and then shot the guy trying to rob him.
Wow.
That's pretty hardcore. Tay and I stayed like a 30-second walk away from where the guy got shot.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yeah, Union Square. It was on the road that our hotel was on.
Now, when you say ticket prices are expensive because you've been looking at them, what are the... Nosers,
$315 US. That's nosebleeds.
Yeah, well, we're used to the nosebleeds.
Now, are we just going to do game day of, or are we going to buy or...
Well, I think we wait right now. Hopefully the 49ers suck and the prices drop down a bit.
No, I don't want this to happen, but... You know, let's say it doesn't affect our playoff chances. I'd love Cowboys and 49ers lose on the same week. We get that quick dip.
That
discount.
Little dip down?
Boosh those tickets. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, the issue with the Cowboys 49ers games is there's so much history behind it that I think it's going to be expensive no matter what.
Yeah. Yep.
We're
sweet
fine.
Sweet to see, though.
Outside of that great Skeptical Fan, not too skeptical since he's given us a super chat. Ultra Cowboy says there's a better chance of Zimmer having a six pack than Tolbert being awesome. Because in chat, someone's saying, "Oh, Tolbert is going to be our number two." Ultra Cowboy said Flannoy will be our wide receiver two in 2025.
Okay.
And then Nate Dogg came in and we started talking about Ricky Purcell.
I mean, that's high praise for a 6th round draft pick, but yep. I'm not going to.
And then Ultra wants to know: is that AJ's computer or vibrator that is low on battery?
Ultra.
Both?
Quick, pick it on me.
My computer Ultra, is my vibrator.
Ultra, AJ doesn't have a vibrator. He just has a butt plug in all the time.
Yeah. Oh, fun. I grew up with brothers. I'm rough.
Okay, O-line, baby.
Crack me if you got him, son.
Hey, hang on a second. I forgot to say
it.
Toss me one, son.
AJ's only giving me one every now and then. I don't have anything on deck.
He's
going to
load it in the chamber. So offensive line. I'm going to read it out.
Yeah, let's read it. Because this one is something I think.
Yeah, it's had the most change so far.
Had the most change, yeah.
It looked as if this group was headed to a dark place after the team lost Tyron Smith and Tyler Biadasz in free agency. But how the tables have turned. Rookie Tyler Guyton graded out as the best rookie tackle in the preseason. Ooh. Our Guyton. How crazy is that? Fellow rookie Cooper Beebe has taken huge strides at center and even got veteran treatment and didn't play in the final preseason game. Not only does that starting five look good, but the progress of second-year player Awesome Richards looks great. TJ Bass continues to improve, and Brock Hoffman might be the best backup center in the league. It's early, but this group looks even better than last year. There we go.
Now, this is
what
wild.
I like to hear.
This is wild, I think, because I thought Smith was such a, you're right, injury history, but when he was playing, he was such a...
Stud.
Anchor. Yeah. Stud. And... If it's true that Guyton can just lick the ball sack of where Tyron Smith was last year, we're on a really good trajectory. And the fact that Cooper Beebe solidified that center role.
That's a great term, lick the ball sack of.
Well, because I imagine that Tyron Smith is sitting.
Ladies and gentlemen, and this is prison talk.
Yep, that's
prison talk. But yeah, Beebe getting officially that starting position. When we were really looking at Hoffman to be that starter and BB back him up, that's awesome.
We were all pretty surprised about the BB to start. We weren't really sold on it. No. So I'm glad he won.
And awesome Richards, we kind of forget about him, but he would be an awesome backup. Maybe swing tackle? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. Essentially, he's leaning towards being a swing tackle type player.
Yeah.
With Adoga being out. So, and maybe that Chuma injury, I'm not going to say benefited the team because you never want to see your guys get hurt because of depth type stuff, but maybe Guyton got a few more reps than he was going to get with the first team because of that.
Truth. Yes, so. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, the youth makes me say I think we have a better team.
More excited for the offense. Like the last year, what were we saying? If one of these guys goes down, we're fucked.
We're fucked. Yeah.
Where this year is a couple guys. I'm not. You never want a couple guys to go down, but if that happened, you have enough pieces to be able to mishmash up a starting caliber offensive line, which is that's exciting to me. The depth alone is miles ahead of what it was last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, for both of the our rookie offensive linemen, they have that great piece in between them, Tyler Smith. And then on the right guard to help out BB, you've got Zach Martin. So BB should have a really good opportunity to have a great season to learn from alongside those masters of their craft. And so, man, could you imagine, though, let's just put this into perspective. Who's on our right side? Fuck, Steele.
If Steele plays
well, and then Guyton and BB are who we think they are.
With Steele, there was saying he had his best camp in the last.
Yeah. Well,
even since 2022, he had his best camp. So
we need that.
That's exciting.
We need it.
Ad, what's your
Ultra Cowboy says BB will be a Pro Bowler in his first year. That's a hot take.
That's a hot take, and I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts are we've significantly improved over last year. I think if you look at like what they're trying to do when we talk going back to the run game, like our run game struggled, was it a little bit of the line? Was it because we didn't have depth? So if you got guys who were balling out a little bit on the second teams last year, and now they're still being backed up or possibly working their way into that starting position, it's the one area that I'm not skeptical on the Cowboys on what they do on the offensive line. So putting these people in place, I mean, we saw Guyton looked like a monster out there. And then if Cooper Beebe legitimately won, because this isn't nepotism here, his dad doesn't work on staff.
Ooh, shots fired. Deuce Vizzy.
Well, Deuce Vaughn, he's a teammate with Cooper Beebe. So now that maybe they drafted him so that Deuce Vaughn could get more. Cooper Beebe starting is only to get Deuce Vaughn comfortable because Deuce Vaughn's going to be the number one running back this year.
Then it'd be like player nepotism.
Then there's player nepotism, but
if that's even a thing.
But
past team nepotism.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I can't wait to see what our left side does with the two Tylers
back to back.
Yeah, you know
they go back to back every. Yeah.
It's like, guys, this is very detrimental. You're supposed to look forward. They just hop back to back and just block with their left and right arms.
You
got to stop going back to back.
So love the teamwork, but
you got to stop going back to back.
Three T's, a Z, and a C. Is that what we're saying now?
Yeah, three T's, a Z, and a C.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can three T's, a Z, and a BB.
Yeah. That's good.
Three T's, a Z, and a BB. Okay.
Defensive line. This is another one that's
defense.
We lost some important pieces in Armstrong and Fowler. But we did pick up Marshon Nyland, and he's looked really good.
Don't forget you lost Sam Williams.
Oh, yeah, and Sam Williams out for the year. You're right.
I think it's worse.
I think it's worse, too.
Just because of that, you lost three huge role players. Like you said, Dorrance Armstrong gone, Dante Fowler gone, both over to those pesky Commanders. And then Sam Williams finally going to get all those reps and all that playing time we were hoping for with having our new second pick, Nyland backing him up, and then the knee injury that took him out. So not super excited about that.
No, not at all. And this was a big year for Williams, too, because he really needed to come in and get a full year under his belt to help improve his play so that he could move into maybe a, who knows? I mean, how long is D-Law going to be hanging out for, right? And so it would be really nice to see to have Williams and Nyland being competing, see which one of those guys could be the potential replacement, long-term replacement for D-Law, but we're not going to see Williams. And I think that Nyland probably would have won out at the end of it, but, you know, we're not going to get to see that. So.
But you still have that depth then, right? Like, you still have that depth. Yeah. The rotation thing with defensive ends is so big. And right now, what do you have? You have Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Marshon Nyland, and then who's the next guy?
Jesus.
Let's look at it. It's like Tyron Wheat or whatever.
Yeah.
Tyson Wheat. Can't even remember his name.
Yeah. Tyson Wheat. It's
this is the only one that I agree with his change thing.
Tyrus Wheat.
Tyrus Wheat.
Just it just feels shaky. I don't think we've gotten worse because we don't have the depth there.
Yeah.
The Chauncey Golston, don't forget about him.
But like, if you have DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons out there, you're pretty good. But they're not going to be out there for every single snap.
And it'll be interesting
And if one of them gets hurt.
Well, and you can see with them bringing in the veterans, some of these veteran players, but still not making the team and having to go to practice squad, it'll be interesting to see how they rotate them in as the season goes on, if they rotate them in at all. But yeah, it's
Marshawn Nealand was voted the best rookie of training camp too.
Yeah, which I mean,
that's good.
Again, you're just unsure until you see what happens in game.
You need to see gameplay.
There's no step back from Parsons and Lawrence, but the depth
is scary because when you had Dorrance and Dante Fowler in, sure, there's fall off from Micah Parsons and D-Law, but they were still getting sacks. They were still making plays. As long as Nealand and the boys can do that, crack them if you got them, son. Then we're okay, but it's the depth. I think the depth is what's scary.
And real quick on the first season for my Madden, how many sacks do you think Parsons got
in the one season that you just had?
Yeah. 17.
Yeah, I'm going to say 15 and a half.
19.
Led the league.
Shit.
Defensive player of the year, baby.
He had no sacks in his first two games.
I would love Micah to hit 19 sacks, man. I would love it.
It would be crazy.
It'd be
especially sweet. If he had zero in the first two and then it's 19 through the rest of the.
Yeah, 19, 19 over 15 games. That's like a sack and a half a game almost.
Yeah.
Ultra Cowboys saying D-Law, Parsons, Nealand, and Lawson are better.
Well, Lawson's technically not even on the team right now.
Yep. And then I believe Overshown will come off the edge on blitz packages.
That's true.
Nate Dogg says, who is joining the cast in the studio on Friday? I won't be here for Friday, so Nate Dogg is.
You open invite, buddy.
Hey, yo.
Nate, you just signed yourself up, son. You
signed up. Hey, you're first on the list, baby.
And then he also said, per reports, 49ers wide receiver Ricky Purcell has been released from the hospital. So that's good to hear.
That's pretty
good.
It was a through and through.
Yeah. Shot in the chest, too.
I think that was misinformation.
No, it was. I saw the video. He got shot, like, right here.
Oh, he got shot in the chest. I thought he got shot in the arm,
No, he got shot, like, right here, and then he shot the other guy in the chest, too.
That's so Wild West.
But it went through, it was, like, shoulder, it was, like, right here.
Do you think he's going to play? Do you think he's going to play this year?
Oh, yeah, he'll play this year. Not for a couple months, though.
Like because it went through and through, I think that's, like,
the healing's a lot. Well, there's, if you think about it.
Lung, maybe, but
not even
two
like,
of those.
Up here.
Okay, yeah.
But it could still fuck up if it didn't fuck up a lot of ligaments and stuff. But there's no organs. That's probably one of the only spots in your full body that you could really get shot through and not be in some serious trouble.
Right.
Like you go over another 4 inches over here, and yeah, you're taking a lung out, and he's probably dying.
Yeah.
He probably bleeds out. Or
he's not playing this year. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. So it's good that he's out of there.
Call him one lung.
It missed everything vital, apparently, is what Nate Dogg said.
One lung Ricky?
One lung Ricky. we don't mean to joke about it. Obviously, we're just making jokes because the dude survived.
And he did it in such a badass way.
Such a badass way, and, you know.
Nate Dogg's going to be here Friday.
Plays. We do hope he plays, Nate, because we want to beat him up on the field, in Vegas.
And does he come out to many men?
I hope so.
I would.
Nate Dogg's in studio Friday. Yeah. Nice.
And Nate Dogg, I wasn't talking about Nate Dogg coming out to many men.
I hope he does.
Yep, he could. Defensive tackle.
I'm going to read this one, guys.
Yeah, do it.
Just to break things up a little. After years of waiting and waiting, the team has finally taken the nose tackle position seriously. Not only has second-year player Mazi Smith improved, I'll put a question mark there, but the team added a couple of veterans in Linval Joseph and Jordan Phillips. Big, beefy boys. In the middle is a staple of Mike Zimmer's defense and his rock hard nips. And now they have some. 3-tech Osa Odigizua, no doubt, is in a contract year. And while the future is murky, the right now looks much better.
Yeah. And then the change, he's saying we'll keep crack 'em if you got 'em. We'll keep our excitement under control, but they should be much improved this season. I feel the same. I feel like the defensive tackle was probably our worst positional group of last season.
Yeah.
So it can't be any worse, and at least they're trying to get better at it. They're trying to get those big bodies. Like AJ said, you got those beefy boys in the middle, and that's something Mike Zimmer loves, and it's going to help the linebackers. It's going to help everybody.
Zimmer loves beef boys?
He loves the beefy boys.
Well, Ultra's saying Linval and Phillips are mean. Love those signings.
They're mean. The only issue with them is they're old. They are old.
Oh, man, you old as fuck.
But the good thing is they just got to be big. They just take up space and don't get blown off the line. That's it. Just take up space.
Exactly. And the most important thing here is what I would take with those two veterans is working with Mozzie Smith, and maybe he can learn a little. Smith, we're hoping, is a starter, the standout starter for the season. But I think it is nice to have those veterans around who can sub in. They're big body dudes, and perhaps they come in certain plays until Mozzie Smith is able to, overtake them in terms of production there for those. So, yeah, having depth on that D-tackle is what we need, because if someone's not working out, we can at least rotate to someone else and see what happens. But I'm not...
You're not convinced?
For me, I'm not convinced on Mozzie Smith yet.
No, yeah,
that's what Chris Garland in chat says. Mozzie Smith improved? Nah.
But he can't be any worse.
He can't be any worse.
No.
He can't be any worse, and at least our expectations, at least Cowboys fans' expectations aren't huge. I'm going to say it right now. In this room, we didn't have expectations for Mozzie Smith last year. We didn't. We didn't like the pick from the get-go, but Cowboys Nation was deafening loud leading up to the season about how he was going to completely heal our run game deficiencies, and it didn't happen. So I'm actually I feel better going into the season not having that slight hope that he's going to be good.
Yeah,
I just hope he improves.
Just that first round pick and the type of expectations you have on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the year he can prove that the pick was good.
Yeah, and shut us up. Because every year he has a bad year. Yeah, I'm going to go back to those comments and ask the people that were bashing us how he's doing, because I'm like that. I'm pitiful.
Ant's got his comment list with all the links saved, and it's
he's going okay. I'll do linebacker since I haven't even read one yet.
Yeah, do it, baby.
Oh, you want the linebackers? Go for it.
No, I dare you to do it.
This group offers a little bit of everything. They have more size now. The speed is still there. And they have a slew, and I said slew, of young guys waiting to take off. It's hard. It's not hard to eclipse a group. I started to get into sex voice. It's not hard to eclipse a group from a year ago, which was mostly manned by one true linebacker and a converted safety, which we talked about all last season, like Cowboys Nation. But the additions of Eric Kendricks, rookie Maurice Leafau, and DeMarvion Overshown returning from injury should provide an instant upgrade, with Damone Clark and newcomer Buddy Johnson to provide some muscle.
I'd say this is the most excited I am for any positional group.
Absolutely.
Because that's one of the when the Cowboys are on defense, I'm always watching the linebackers, just because they make or break your team. On first and second down, what your linebackers do heavily affect how the game's going to go. So I'm interested to see if Kendrick still has some in the tank.
Yep.
I'm super excited for DeMarvion Overshown, and I hope having those guys around Damone Clark is just going to make him better. So having this set of five linebackers opposed to Leighton Vander Esch and Damone Clark going into the season, and then having to rely on Marquez Bell coming up to play as an undersized linebacker, I'm super pumped up for them. And they have to be better than what I just can't see them being worse than what the group was last year.
And with Kendricks coming in, working with his old boy Zimmer, providing some much better knowledge of how Zimmer likes to run that defense, and spreading his knowledge across, or sharing it with Leafau and Overshown. And then also Damone Clark. I mean, he came out, had a terrible injury that kept him out of his first season in the NFL, I believe. Half season. Then last year didn't really get to sink into a linebacker position. Was kind of like, yes, he was playing linebacker, but they were so thin.
He was playing outside his position.
Exactly.
He was playing middle linebacker when he's not a middle linebacker.
Right, so
as soon as Vander Esch went down.
I think that the linebackers are much improved, and it could have just been Kendricks that would have improved the linebacker core. If they just signed Kendricks and did nothing else with linebackers, we'd be like, okay, well, It still improves. And then you talk about all these other guys and the potential of Leafau, the rookie, and Overshown, who essentially was redshirted last season with an injury, and so... Even though he's not a rookie, still coming into his first,
He was essentially like a free pick this year.
Free pick, exactly. So even though we spent one on him already, but
he spent it on him. Bot G's in the house, boys.
Bot G, what's up, son?
Sup.
And then Danny Phantom saying improve. There are things to work out, but overall, this group is bigger, smarter, and faster. So that's great.
Yeah,
that's great to hear.
We're in agreement.
Ultra's saying that don't forget Paul Gagné. He is a linebacker whisperer. So they having the new linebacker coach. Okay. I don't know if that's how you say his name. Gaunter.
Gaunter. Give me some Sean Lee fucking coaching up the LBs, and I'll come all over this table.
And then Boots says, "Sup Ultra, 1 week, and you get to see your favorite QB sit on the bench while Dak crushes the Browns." Boots just comes right in, and he just starts throwing haymakers.
Stoking that fire.
Stoking it up.
Cornerbacks.
I want my cornerback.
Well, just looking at this change, like his change, I'm just going to skip right to it.
Yep.
Similar to last year, but with much better depth. Was this before the Deron Bland injury? I felt going into the season last year with what we had at...
No, this is... Although we'll have to wait until midseason to get Bland back. So he's already taken account.
So I'm going to say week one, I don't think it's better than it was last year.
No, there's a huge question mark on whatever side of the right side of the field, right?
You had last year going into the season, you had Trevon Diggs off his new contract. You had Stephon Gilmore, and then you had Deron Bland at nickel. Like, that's pretty hard to beat.
I feel that a hot take here. I feel like we're going to see Andrew Wilkes Booth come in and step up hard for this game.
Andrew Wilkes Booth had a real standout
preseason game. So I think he'll come in, and when he comes in, I think we're going to see.
Who's he going to go in over?
Well, who's taking Bland's position?
Carson.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Kalen Carson's is starting.
Yeah.
So you're going to have Diggs, Kalen Carson, then you're going to have Jordan Lewis at nickel. So you'd have to take one of those guys. You'd have to take either Diggs or Kalen Carson off the field. So if Booth's coming out, that's because Kalen Carson's been burned a bunch of times, and that's not a good thing.
No, Kalen Carson's not going to play every single defensive snap, not necessarily, right? So even
if your starting corners usually do, if they're your starting corners,
they're there the whole time.
Yeah, they don't get taken out very often.
Okay, I still think that when Andrew Wilkes Booth hits the field, he's gonna work his way up through to be a very formidable back.
Well, can we do a quick quest here and just pull the depth chart up?
Yeah,
for defense, yeah.
Yeah, hey, fuck it.
But here's a weird thing.
AJ already has.
Yeah, I've been scanning.
He's been cheating over here, looking at his depth chart.
Well, I just gotta have the answers.
He's been cheating over here.
So he's backing up Trevon Diggs.
But what I don't see, Donald Dubb. So they don't have strong safety out there on this. This is a 4-3.
That's because it's just your 4-3 defense.
If you change it, then you'll see it.
I don't think I can. Bastards.
You can't change it.
You can go to PFF, but we know Donald Dubb's there in that strong safety.
That is weird, though. For a 4-3 defense, you usually... Oh, because they have the nickel. You, in a 4-3 base defense, you don't have your nickel out there.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I don't know. That's confusing.
Look, it's off season for ESPN. We'll give them just a little bit of, but you got to get this shit wrangled in before week one, boys.
Okay. So looking at this, when we look at our cornerbacks and having Deron Bland on IR for a couple of weeks.
Thin as my pubic hair.
Thin it up.
Yeah. I don't think what he said is the dad. Do you think this is a better, like last year you had, you had Gilmore, Diggs, Bland.
Diggs.
No, Bland wasn't who he knew he was.
At the start of the year,
Diggs was. At the start of the year.
At this point of the year, last year.
But Bland wasn't anyone.
He was still your nickel.
But I'm just saying he wasn't anybody until Diggs went down. He became somebody.
But, okay, so right now, if Trevon Diggs or Kalen Carson go down, are you excited with C.J. Goodwin getting in there?
No, gosh, no.
Or Godwin, sorry? No, like that's what I mean. I still think your depth at this point last year was more favorable than what it is.
Sorry, I guess right now. Sorry, yeah, but
if Deron Bland was playing going into this next Sunday, sure, I agree. Right. Okay. But he's not; he's out right now.
Yeah, so right now we're staring at essentially what we saw with Diggs going down. We have a Gilmore, which is let's say Diggs, and then you have Kalen Carson who's playing the Bland role.
Yeah, but Bland at least had what five interceptions from his rookie season going into last year.
Yeah.
So you had at least you at least knew he was going to be all right a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think the CB positions, I think it's around the same. If you take into account injuries and Trevon Diggs being and Trevon Diggs is coming off of a fucking knee injury, guys.
Yeah, no, that's very true. He probably won't be up to his full game speed in the first, 3 weeks, let's say. And hopefully by the fourth week, he's getting up to speed. I could be wrong, but you're right. Kalen Carson, big question mark. Every single team passed on him at least 5 times, and that includes the Dallas or 6 times, I should say, and that includes the Dallas Cowboys.
And he's out there starting.
And he could be, yeah, he is, right? Jesus.
So I'm not super sold on the cornerback position, and I hope I'm wrong.
Throw the boy into the fire. That's what I say. Throw the boy into the fire. That's a good country song.
That is, yeah.
Safeties,
and I think we're all in agreement here. This is probably our strongest.
Oh yeah,
strongest positional group, and we've been preaching that for well over a year. And I think it got better.
Yeah, and it sucks that Curse is not part of this pie, but he really had our first season together, CanFan inaugural season. He played his ass off, played very well.
He was the best player, one of the most welcoming players on the defense, like surprise players,
and then just kind of had a fall off where, and again, was it the scheme that he was asked to play that just didn't suit? Well, you can't buy that for an entire season, right? And so he just really lost a step, it felt like, and he shouldn't have. So when you think about Donald Dubb, Wanwei Thomas looking like he's taking a leap forward as well, and then Malik Hooker, those three boys just, And Marquise Bell now also falling back into the safety position.
Playing his traditional spot.
It has to. It 100% is better.
Any guy that, if they miss some time, you can plug a guy in and there's not going to be much fall off.
Exactly.
That's huge. That's exactly what you want. So they're saying very similar to last year, but exchanging some pop for a little speed, which I don't think J-Ron had any pop left in him last year. I'd much rather have the pop from Wanye or Marquez Bell out there.
And Bell, during the preseason, again, you take the grain of salt that it's worth, but he was all over the field. He only had, I think, one or two interceptions, but there was, was it the Vegas game where he had, well, one of the games anyways.
Rams.
He had his hand on the ball or a potential interception for like four or five passes. So, and he got one. So his ability to be where the ball is going to be is awesome. And I'd like to actually see him on the field more. But, of course, you can't take over my boy Donald Dubb and Hooker. I mean, great last name.
Yeah, because you kind of have Bell's kind of subbing out Wilson. And then Wanya Thomas is kind of subbing out Malik Hooker.
Is there a chance Bell would come in to play where Wanye would be playing on that on the defense?
No, because I think they both sub out. They're both
right.
Different guys.
Oh, okay,
strong safety, free safety.
I can't tell because, you know, the strong safety is just not on the depth chart for the Cowboys. So
I'll ask you guys this, though, with settling argument for this little exercise we did. Is the team better or worse this year?
I have to say better, man. I feel like the improvements, there wasn't enough knockback. Yes, the only knockback, in my opinion, was defensive ends. But when you have Micah Parsons and D-Law, we're talking depth losses. And then our depth with Nealand, like if Nealand shows up and is just better, 1% better than most of the league, okay, awesome. Like I think that's it didn't knock us down too many pegs. But then you add on an improved depth running room, what I think is an improved third receiver in Tolbert. This is just off the top of my head. A better linebacking core, which allows our safeties to play safeties. And again, another knock would be cornerbacks, where, of course, Bland got injured, but that's a regular thing. Like, obviously, injuries are normal in the NFL, but when Bland comes back to play, I think that does improve our cornerbacks as well, or at least makes them as even as it was last year. So I have to put my money on better.
Better.
Oh, what? You're just going to let me write a fucking novel and come in? And
So I think that, well, I mean, a lot of these things that you're saying, I'm agreeing with.
We're an echo chamber of each other.
Yeah. But
it is rare that we go against each other. I think we all agree with most of the shit we say.
It's better because I'm also the one who said that we're going to end up with another 12-5 season.
And I could happen.
And I think we're going to go far in the postseason as well.
You know what CanFan needs to do? Because right now I'm pretty sure the betting odds for the Cowboys, the over-under for wins is 9.5 wins. Mm.
Oh, let's fucking throw it down.
Let's bet over.
Yeah, you got to. I just don't understand. I don't understand.
Remember last time?
10 wins is...
That's what it should have been. I think it should have been set to 10.5, but it dropped down because so many people were betting the under.
Awesome.
That Vegas dropped it down to 9.5. So it's like, that's the bet we got to take before the season.
Do it.
Wednesday night, we got to make that bet.
Do it. So, yeah, what about you?
You're
Phantom 24 in it? I don't know. Maybe a smidge worse.
But if they finish 12-5, they finished 12-5 the last three years. So you got to say they're on par. For them to be better, they got to finish.
Well, are we talking about regular season or postseason included?
Well, what were you talking about?
I was talking about postseason.
So you think they go further in the postseason?
Yeah. And we're still going to hit the 12-5.
I'm going to go further than postseason also. They might have they might be 11-6, but I do believe they get past at least the wild card round. Will they get past that fucking divisional? I have no idea.
Yeah, I think we're going to. I feel confident that we're going to be in the title.
Man, I've felt that way every single year for the last 20-something years. And I hope you're right, because that would be fucking amazing.
What am I doing here as a fan if I don't feel like that?
You have to feel like that. But last year, they were good enough to make the title game, and they were good enough the last couple years after that. But
I want to get my expectations up. Look what shirt I'm wearing today.
I'm just saying they're not worse.
Look what shirt I'm wearing today, okay?
The team's not as bad as every sport outlet thinks. Like, you hear that they're going to be so bad, and it doesn't make sense to me because they didn't lose the bunch of pieces. They still have the best quarterback in the NFC East. They still have the best wide receiver, in my mind, in the NFL. They have one of the best defensive players, if not the best defensive player in the NFL. Their coach is still there from the last 4 years.
Yep. Like,
there's too much consistency in it for them to have a huge drop off and win only 8 games. Like, that just a 9.5 over under from Vegas is just is wild to me. Like, I think they win over 10 games. Well,
and
sure.
CeeDee Lamb is going to lead the league as a wide receiver this year because Justin Jefferson has nobody toss into him. Sam Darnold, great, whatevs. And we're gonna see
Sammy D's nuts.
Sammy D's nuts, baby.
All right, well, that was a fun little exercise.
How we do. It's called life, not exercising. Okay.
just one quick thing I want to bring up here.
Bring it up. You don't have to be quick.
Before we get it.
It's our day, you know?
It's our day. It's our day. This is our day. And this is our moment. That's like our school song.
Yeah.
We are the youth. We are 40, almost all 40 years old now.
I like it.
Look, Dallas Cowboys, DeMarvian Overshown, probably 2 years in a row now, was named the X Factor for the Cowboys. This is another article by Blogging the Boys. Love the work that you guys do. And this is by David Halperin.
At Dave_Halperin.
Very simple, very easy to find.
Posted yesterday.
I didn't actually read this article. I basically just wanted to bring that up and get your guys' thoughts. Who's the X Factor of Dallas?
Of the team. X Factor of the team.
We could go offense, defense, too.
Okay.
So I think I would agree based on his... First of all, there's two factors. The first one is he had a really good showing before he got injured last season. So it's kind of like... I don't know. You're a little bit like drooling, just waiting for him to get out there and see what
he can do.
Just breathing heavy. And then also just the linebacker position last year was dismal. So of course, adding an extra linebacker, and with that additional, like, oh, he performed very well until he got injured. I think that's a fair estimation. It's a fair assumption that he's the X factor for the Cowboys.
So X factor, does that mean would he'd be their best player on defense?
I don't know if it's necessarily best player, but it's the one who makes
everything stick together.
Yeah, I think it's just like the biggest change, the biggest game changer. So if you were to be like Micah Parsons, probably has the highest potential to. On each play, but we know what he's going to do. And to be an X factor, I think you need to like push your level of play X amount percent better than what everyone's expecting. Michael Parsons is already expected to be one of the best defenders.
He is an X factor.
He's already an X factor. Yeah. And this guy, let's do it this way. We got the X factors, but who's going to become an X factor player?
Okay.
And Overshown could be that player.
I think he's got my money on being one of those guys on defense, and then you could say a guy like Kalen Carson. I'm not saying he's going to be.
He has the potential.
But he has the potential.
Pushed onto the field.
He could end up being that guy, right? Couple pick sixes, and everyone's fucking, we're like, oh my God, we struck gold again. Jesus. But DeMarvian Overshown's very hard to pick against because we've all been pretty sold on this dude since last season, since the draft, since he was drafted. So I think DeMarvian Overshown is a very, very good one. Could Mozzie Smith end up being an X factor?
Oh, all the potential.
He has the potential. Do I think he's going to be? Probably not.
Probably not, no.
But he's at a position that he could be.
I mean, I don't disagree with DeMarvian Overshown being the X factor. I was going to say Andrew Wilkes Booth is the X factor for the... I just want to ask.
I knew you were just trolling.
but I mean, I think... like
Booth won't get a single snap next Sunday.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But... like, I feel like Diggs is our X factor on defense.
Oh, okay.
But but Diggs is already an X factor.
But can you have multiple X factors?
Diggs is an X factor.
So, but this is a new X factor? Is that what we're going with?
Becoming an X factor.
Oh, okay.
Personally, I didn't read the blog to know what he meant by X factor, so we're making this up on the spot.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't pick Dak Prescott because, he's already the X factor.
CeeDee Lamb, of course.
Of course. Like, so who's going to enter into that realm, you know?
You know what? I feel like Nealon will be an X factor for the team. Ooh.
And if he does it, I mean, he will have all the potential because he's going to be on the field more now that Sammy Dubs is injured. And that would probably close the... Like, you keep Sammy Dubb for the rest of his contract, but that would probably close any potential resigning of him.
Yep.
If that's the possibly, case, right? Yep. What about Marquise Bell? I don't think
he's going to be on the field enough.
Yeah.
And that's my only issue. Like, Nealon will get chances, but I don't know if he'll be on enough to be and like an X factor guy. To be an X factor guy, you got, in my mind, you got to be playing 75% plus of the snaps. So you'd be taking D-Law off the field to get Nedland out there. That's my only issue with, like, that's why my Kalen Carson one, if he does some stuff. But you have to think of it snap-wise, right? Like, you have to think of a starter, a guy that's going to be on the field the majority of the time. And Nedland will probably get, 30% of the snaps is my guess. Could he eventually bring it in? But
So in those 30%, if he's maintaining the same level that D-Law is maintaining, would that not be an X factor? Because then it's like you had D-Law playing the whole time.
An X factor can't be a guy that plays 30% of the snaps, in my mind.
What if he gets...
But in those 30%, he's playing up to the level of...
Was Dorrance Armstrong or Sam Williams an X factor last year? Because when they were on the field for their limited snaps, they played just as good. If you would have taken their snaps and given them the amount that Micah Parsons had... You're saying all you're going to get is, well, they're getting the snaps where the guys are tired or
the rules of the X factor is very challenging.
Well, no, it's just pick a starter that isn't already an X factor.
Who has Dono Dubb. Dono fucking Dubb, baby.
Dono Dubb's a good one.
I'd love to.
Malik Hooker could be considered an X factor in my mind.
Or safeties.
Damone Clark could be. Eric Kendricks. I don't know if you could consider him an X factor right now, with the Cowboys, he could be.
He could be, yeah.
Like, I'd say on defense, the only two X factors you have are Micah Parsons and Trevon Diggs. And on offense are Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. Pick any other guy that's going to start 80% of the snaps, and that could be the guy you pick.
Is D-Law just kind of...
I don't think you could pick him as an X factor because he's just so consistent with what he does, but he's never gonna take over a game.
No, okay, and I agree. So he's playing at a high level, but he's not
gonna take over a game.
No, Clark's an interesting one. Actually,
Clark's interesting. Clark's interesting. Like, linebackers are interesting. And that's where Overshown. I mean, I'm even worried Overshown might not get enough snaps to be a true,
very true, especially X-factor. With Leafau.
That's what I mean. So there's a lot of guys. So do you guys want to? Do you want to give your pick a different one, Ad?
No.
You're going Nealand?
I'm going to go Nealand.
Okay. I'm fine with
that. Just because anybody that we pick is going to be like, oh, they're either an X factor or I'm staying with Nealand.
You literally could have picked 10 other guys on defense other than Micah Parsons and
I'm picking Marshawn Nealand cuz he's a newer guy.
So what's Nealand's stats going to be for the season?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you.
My final answer, Michael Parsons. Okay, let's move on. No.
Offense. It's tough to say. It is tough. It's hard to guess.
It's tough to say, but I think when it comes down to it, we're looking at Overshown. We're looking at Clark. We're looking at Leafau.
You're looking at the entire
team. We're looking at Kalen Carson. Yeah, there's a bunch of dudes. And I hope that it becomes hard to decide in a positive way, not in like, all these guys are trash. Okay, we got to pick one.
Here, I'll take... You know who I feel like needs to be an X factor?
Yes.
Who started to show some shades of it
at the
last few games?
Yes, I do, and you're going to answer right now.
Jordan Lewis. If Jordan Lewis can become an X factor, I think that'll do wonders because
lots of up and downs with Jordan
Lewis. Exactly. So if he can tighten his shit up, you know, it was his birthday this week.
Get his shit pushed in.
HBD. If J Lou can become an X factor for the Cowboys, I think we're in a very, very good spot.
That answer better than Marshawn Nealand.
And then
now Marshawn Nealand's gonna halfway through the season, he's gonna have phenomenal numbers, and Ant's gonna say, "Bandwagon boy was right."
I don't think he's gonna get enough snaps.
Okay. That wasn't your choice. You're just throwing another option out there. You're sticking with Nealand.
I'm sticking with Nealand.
But also one way.
See, that's a good pick, too. I think Wanya has a good chance.
Oh, yeah, yay.
Yeah.
I could have picked 20 other guys.
Well, yeah. You could have.
Who did you pick?
I picked Kalen Carson, a guy that's going to be starting.
Yeah.
for the next 3 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. If anything,
Four to six weeks.
If anything, we need him to be an X factor.
Yes.
We need him to be an X factor.
So Kalen Carson becomes a dog the next 4 weeks, and then Bland comes back.
Yeah, great depth.
I think you put Bland back in.
You have to.
Yeah. He's earned it.
Offense is going to be easier, though. Offense will be easier because there's way more guys that you can pick from. Because I think you could pick a third wide receiver as an X factor because arguably a couple years ago with Seti the Enti, I think he was probably the X factor for the Cowboys that one season with limited reps.
And then look, if I was Mike McCarthy, I would be bringing in Seti the Enti's his receptions and yards total.
Being like, this is what we want.
Look, this is the trajectory he was on. Then he left us. You want to be that little bitch in Miami? Go for it. Hey,
you want to go to South Beach?
Yeah. You want to be a water burger with tomatoes on it? Go for it. I don't play that shit. I take my tomatoes off my burger.
No pickles, no onions. I don't even do cheese.
And then the wide receivers are leaning into CD. They're like, what's he talking about? CD's like, oh, tomatoes are bad.
He talks about tomatoes. You want to be the secret sauce.
but he likes
you
ketchup.
You want to be the secret sauce.
But he doubles up on ketchup, which is weird.
Yeah, Mike, you have three of those little carton things of ketchup on.
I don't use them all, but just in case.
I like the sugar.
Who do you guys think for offense would be your X factor?
I think you let off with Tolbert or let's just put Tolbert there, but it could be Flannoy. There's potential with wide receivers to step up because Gallup's gone. So now we need someone to come into that third spot. Are we comparing them against, like, for example, using this, Gallup's stats last year and if they do better than him? We're just like...
I'm putting it... I'll give you a situation for offense.
Yep.
So last year where CeeDee Lamb didn't show up in the postseason at all against the Packers. Who would be the guy that has 100 yards and 2 touchdowns?
I think it's got to be Tolbert, man. If I'm just thinking off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, Fergie's a good pick. Yeah. I think Fergie's a great X factor pick. And I'm going to go Rico Dowdle. We haven't had a running game and we're looking for, we know what Zeke and Dalvin Cook have done. I feel like Dowdle could have a chance to become an X factor. If he handles his business and gets a couple hundred yard games right out the get go, it might be tough. It'll be definitely harder for Dowdle or a running back to get that X factor opposed to a wide receiver or a tight end. But I'm glad that we all went different positional groups.
Before I said Fergie, because I was just answering, that necessarily wasn't going to be. I was between Cooper Beebe and Guyton.
I think those are really good too.
Because if we look at who on the line, obviously Zach Martin's an X factor. I guess what we should have done to begin with, who are guys that are eliminated, right? So CeeDee Lamb's eliminated. But then when you said he didn't show up in the playoffs, it's like he's still an X factor.
CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott.
CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Zach Martin, and Tyler Smith are all X factors, right?
Yes.
Or no, not you wouldn't say Tyler Smith is?
I'm going to say if you pick them, it's a weak choice.
Yeah.
I'm not picking. I'm trying to just establish.
Right, no.
BB or Tyler, I gave you a pretty good parameter for the offense. When CeeDee Lamb gets shut down, who's the player that needs to step up?
Yeah, that's why I said Fergie.
So Ferguson
is a great
one. You're not going to be like, oh, the Kraken player of the game was Cooper Beebe. Like, he could have blocked amazing, but you're never going to pick him. He's never going to be that X factor guy.
But you're not wrong.
What if Guyton shows up and is just a perfect youthful Smith replacement?
Well, this is the shitty thing about being an offensive lineman. You could be the best guy on your squad, and somebody else is more than likely going to get the credit for the win.
Truth.
Like, the running back that ran for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, he's going to get all the praise. When Dak Prescott has 5 seconds in the pocket and throws 4 touchdowns, Dak Prescott's going to get it, or CeeDee Lamb, or Ferguson, or Tolbert. That's just what the X factor. The offensive line, they work as a unit, right? So they don't necessarily get the praise as the skill guys.
I also want to throw this one out too, because we have not mentioned his name once.
Who's fun?
Cooks.
Just kidding.
Oh yeah, Cooks could be good.
I mean, he's in his second season.
Yeah, he definitely has potential.
Yep, Cooks could be it.
He is the standout number two.
He had his guys. Man, there were how many games last year where he had the defense burned and the ball just didn't get to him.
Yeah, so
like burned, like wide open.
And here's the thing, also, Anth, is if you as an O lineman, if you fuck up, then you're all on blast.
Oh, for sure. It's like you don't get to reap any of the benefits. But if you fuck up with a penalty or you get burned, everybody's like, oh man, he sucked.
So final answer. Man, did I just convince myself with that last one? I think Cooks has the most potential to be the X factor, because if they do eliminate CeeDee Lamb from a game, it's going to open up his chances, and I'm really confident. And I've always liked Brooks. I don't think we saw his full potential last season, and I think we are going to see it this season. Now, he is on a decline just in terms of age.
Brooks or Cooks?
Cooks, sorry. Did I say Brooks?
Yeah, you just
said Brooks. Cooks. I meant Cooks.
You're trying to confuse us.
Not Jalen Brooks. Not Jalen Brooks, although, hey, that's a fair answer. But I think it's Cooks. I think Cooks, it's Brandon okay. Cooks.
Add final answer.
Fergie. Fergalicious.
And I'm going Dowdle.
Dowdle, okay. Fergie, and Cooks. It would be
one of us better hit off that.
it would be,
someone's got
to
hit.
It would be
man.
Interesting to see with Cooks.
Brooks?
Not Brooks, okay. But Cooks. what games he... Like, because there's a couple games when CeeDee Lamb didn't show up, Cooks was there. And I'm pretty sure whenever Cooks had a good game, CeeDee Lamb didn't. I could be wrong, though.
I mean, CeeDee Lamb had a good game from week six on.
I know.
He literally had 11 good games in a row.
And that's where you look at some of those.
Statistically.
I think, one of those games is, you get that 60 yards, but he still had, two touchdowns or something like that. And you're just like, oh, okay, well, it's still a good.
And Anthony
drafted him second overall in a fantasy league.
I want to get your answer before I say my next point here.
With which?
No, I'm just going to say it now. You said Dowdle. Sorry.
Yeah, I said Dowdle.
Okay. So, but with our choices here, if CD does get eliminated from a game, and Brandon Cook steps up, is that enough to be an X factor, or is that just playing your position? You know what I mean?
But that's being an X factor.
Yeah.
You end up being that X factor because when your other guy's down, you step up.
Well, it's the same, I guess, as Dowdle. If Dowdle plays good running back, then it's like
they don't need to throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb.
You can't negate him for that.
If Jake Ferguson's getting tugs, right? And if Jake Ferguson has
a Deshaun Watson tug?
Yeah, on the old Brown bench. If Fergie gets 110 yards and two touchdowns and CeeDee Lamb has 60 yards, you know?
Yeah, if you're getting tugged off on the bench, then I mean, you know, you're not getting on the field.
You ain't doing it. Just not happening.
Oh, adds up. What's going on?
Hey, don't behind baseball me.
Well, I don't know. This is what we do. We always throw behind baseball.
Well, just toss me one while he's figuring his thing out.
If you guys are out there and you're wondering, hey, should I have another one? I mean, yes, you go ahead. You have one. I believe for both Canada and the U.S., we have a holiday tomorrow.
Yep.
Labor Day.
Is it Labor Day in the States?
I thought so. Let me just double check. It's chat. If you can beat me to this, you win 1,000 CanFan bucks.
Buckaroos.
They always do the TBS thing, I think. Remember growing up, they'd have TBS.
Crack them if you got them, sir.
Labor Day weekend.
Now, marathon. I always thought Labor Day was for women who go into labor, and that was the best day to do it. But
hey, man, you know? my birthday is Tuesday, so Bandwagon Baba at one point, or I would have to go back to 1987 to see, but she could have been in labor on Labor Day.
Yes, she could have been, absolutely.
I was born on a Thursday, so no, she definitely wasn't.
When's your birthday?
Tuesday.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know.
How about you just right make here.
I don't know. You know what I love? A big chili cook-off, and we just come and dip bread in and eat from the same bowl.
We're gonna be live streaming the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So probably nothing Tuesday.
Okay. Well, how about this, and then we'll get into our Zimmer article. And you don't have to come into any decisions. By the way, it's September 2nd is Labor Day in the United States this year, so we're both sharing Labor Day.
Except in Canada, it's spelled with a U.
We got to do some food, scheduling here. What are we bringing?
For the Thursday-Friday game?
Thursday-Friday, Saturday off, Sunday.
Yeah, that's true. We do.
But anyways.
Okay, we can talk about that off air. I think I'm definitely going to get one of those queso dips that we made. Going again.
Yeah, because we can.
Eat enough on Super Bowl.
Of that queso.
Why do you
stuff?
Say that?
I didn't eat any. Well, one, I was barfing in the parking lot by the end of the night.
Oh, because we went out after.
Yeah, I didn't eat. I barely ate the all of Super Bowl. And we were drinking Screech. I was yelling at Ad about overtime rules.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Which I was right.
If you do make queso, just make it for four days.
Yeah, just all.
Or just like a 4-day queso dip event.
Yeah, okay.
Because I could eat that 7 days in a row and be fine.
Yeah,
I might shit my pants, but I'm still okay.
Queso and chili. I mean, it's a little too early for queso and chili. I'll figure. Did you just kick the fucking thing? Yeah, you did.
Oh,
yeah, that's okay. It's a little bit of a different setup. We have a leg down here now, so AJ likes to kick it. There we
go. There we go.
Oh, maybe that's why it was moved over a little bit.
Oh, this is a better. This is a better variation of that.
Yeah.
All right. Cowboys news.
Behind baseball.
Defensive coach Mike Zimmer goes off about his exit from Vikings, and this is really interesting because some of the answers that Mike Zimmer gave, just like in a without understanding context, I was kind of be like, man, this is not the type of like. As a coach, you say one thing and you might feel another thing, right? And that's kind of fair. But I do love the honesty that he brought here. But let's see what you guys think. I don't know if you had a chance to check this article out.
You had it nicer before you zoomed in. There you go.
Okay. Let's just go to right to his quote.
Zimmer was crushed, well, angry, and sleep deprived. I'm just setting context up.
Well, that's not context.
Well, I'm just for about how you're going to do his voice.
Okay. This is the context. Minnesota played out from the start of their injury-riddled 2020 season to January 2022 when owner Ziggy and Mark Wilf delivered the official time of death on the Vikings career of Zimmer. Wow, so fucking morbid. And general manager Rick Spielman. Zimmer said he was crushed. Angry, sleep deprived.
The rare coaching lifer who had never been fired. Go ahead.
They asked me if I wanted to.
Wow, your guys' chemistry is on point right now.
Do you want to do it, Ant? Do you want to do it?
Hey, we're halfway through, man. We're halfway through.
Do you want to do it, Ant?
They asked me to address the team, he says. And I said, hell no, they got me fired. That's my one red flag. So Zimmer got fired, and Zimmer says, the team got me fired. I kind of love it, but also I like it. And then that's why he's the DC. I didn't know I was supposed to go to HR and stuff or whatever. No one told me. I just got my stuff, got in the truck, and left. And he's got a truck, too.
Of course he does.
I love
it's
that.
It's a fucking, it'll be a 1997 Dodge Ram, he probably drives a Ford.
He drives a diesel.
Usually when you do your Zimmer, you're screaming. Like, you're yelling. You're very calm for someone who just got fired.
Okay, well, sometimes I got to learn that. Because you know what it was? Now I do a screaming Jerry. Yeah. Now I do an angry Jerry.
Lately, your Jerry and Zimmer are two of the same people.
They're kind of the same.
And that's why he's our DC.
So this is the first line that irks me, but let me get to the second one, too, and then let's have our comments here. The criticism that hurt of most of all wasn't from Kendricks, although that one certainly stung. It was from Terrence Newman, who was an assistant coach at the time after playing cornerback for Zimmer in Dallas. So he's had
Cincinnati and Minnesota.
That's right. Wow. Newman spoke with Tyler Dune of Go Long and detailed what he called a toxic atmosphere in Zimmer's final days. That one hurt me bad, Zimmer says. Terrence was like my son. I called Parcells about that one. I called Terrence. He said, well, that's how I felt. And I said, look, we are done. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. So he got very, very, what's the word, vindictive? Or like...
Pointed the finger at everyone else.
What do you guys feel about that? Like, he is just being raw and honest, and I respect that.
I would have to go back and look at what if you do honestly feel like the team gave up?
True.
If you were doing all you could and you were telling people, like, in his mind, he might honestly believe that he was doing everything he could and they weren't doing what he was trying to get them to do.
Yep.
But at the same time, you should go out with a little bit of grace, maybe.
But there is an additional.
But you're getting so you're getting fired, and you're getting fired, and if your team's not, again, we don't know what the team's
if the team's
not
already doing. abandoned you, yeah. Then
so fuck he's these like guys. He said the words, the team got me fired, so maybe they weren't doing his schemes. Like who knows?
Not to mention, imagine being interviewed instantly after being fired.
Was this instantly after?
No.
This
yeah, right after.
Yeah.
So that
you're angry. So yeah, and like
pissed off.
And having like
I do like that.
Having losing records.
I like that you care about your position and you're gonna be open. And there has always been this this thing around Zimmer where he's not the new school, hey, pat me on the back, DQ type of coach. And DQ has his place, but I like that they went extreme. It's okay. Those are empties. I like that they went extreme and like moved away from a DQ style of guy and went to a Zimmer for that hard love type of thing. Because for me, of course, for I don't. Me? No, but I don't like. I would much rather a fucking hard coach. And I only played, you know, rec league sports. But just saying, I liked my coach when he was critical of me rather than just being like, hey, buddy, we'll get it next time. Like, yeah. I didn't have respect for those type of coaches because
the pussies.
Yeah, I wanted to challenge myself. And I might have hated my coach in the moment when he called me out. But also, that motivated me to be like, I'm not going to get fucking called out again.
And again, back to the second quote. I didn't know I was supposed to go to HR and sign out or whatever. If I just got fired, I would have been getting HR. I would be grabbing my shit, getting into my truck and leaving. Like, yeah. I'm just thinking into my own personal life. Yeah. Like, if I got fired from a job, I'm not doing anything else for that company ever, like, again.
Yeah, you go tell HR.
Yeah, you go sign out. You go
figure it out. I ain't signing any more papers. If you do want me to sign papers, it's $150 an hour, yeah. And I charge 2 hours.
But you know what I mean? He got fired. Why would he stick around? He grabbed his shit, and he left.
There is this additional
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was one other thing that he said. So this is really interesting, too. Adam, do you want to try?
No, you go.
With 4 third-round picks, GM Rick Spielman selected in order quarterback Kellen Mond, who the fuck is that? Linebacker Chaz Surratt, who the fuck is that? And offensive lineman Wyatt Davis, who the fuck is that? And defensive end Patrick Jones II. Zimmer was there for only the first pick. When he picked Mond, I walked out of the room, Zimmer said. I left the building. I didn't even talk to him on the motherfucking phone, bitch! I ad-libbed a little there, but...
I'll be Rick. Are you mad at me?
I said, yeah. I think you took 4 backups when we could have had guys that were starters. From that time on, it just kind of got worse between us. And I'm not saying nothing was my fault, but I'm not saying anything was my fault. I'm not sure there was plenty of things that were my fault.
Just zero... accountability.
Yeah, no accountability. And who
granted, if you're not getting any picks and like not even getting asked about who you guys are taking in the draft, I mean, I'd be pissed too.
Yeah, I'm fine with taking responsibility, but also if it's not my responsibility, then of course, like, I'm not going to claim responsibility for something that isn't my responsibility
What draft was this? I would love to go back look at the draft.
Okay, let me have a quick look here. I'll see when Kellen Mond was drafted, and then we'll
build off that. Good call. Because I want to see who was taken besides these dudes.
They pick, and then who went? Who
2021?
Okay, 2021. Let's see who the.
So a year before he was canned.
Yeah, let's see who the 2021 NFL draft. Who went after
Mond? Okay.
Kellen Mond,
and bring it up behind baseball.
Well, I know Ant likes to see me work.
I love watching the behind baseball stuff as your Wikipedia and stuff.
And this brings us to our sponsor today, DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo!
Are you sick and tired of Google?
Are you sick and tired of Google keeping your privacy?
I just seen Calvin Joseph.
Oh, that was our guy.
Yeah, I seen Calvin Joseph. And actually, I seen Osa on the board there.
Kellen Mond. Okay, so after Kellen Mond.
Okay.
Davis Mills went.
Jalen Mayfield.
But Davis Mills probably would have been a better pick.
There's
then.
Osa.
Odigizu, no doubt.
Would have been a better pick for them.
Well, guess
and
what?
And there's now? Their next pick, Chaz Surratt, linebacker at 78. So no one crazy has went. Chauncey Golston, Cowboys pick.
Maybe that's why he came to Cowboys, because he's like, I wanted Golston.
Nico Collins, wide receiver for Houston Texans.
So yeah.
There's the Minnesota's next pick, Patrick Jones. So I'm not really seeing any crazy picks here. There hasn't been any Pro Bowl players.
No.
Oh, there's Amon-Ra.
Oh, there's one.
In the fourth.
There's one.
In the fourth. That's crazy.
Ramondre Stevenson. He's also another very good player.
Jabril Cox.
Cox. Is he even in the NFL anymore? So, I mean, there's not a Chuba Hubbard starter at least.
Hubbard, Stevenson, and Amon St. Brown.
Yeah. Osa would have been a better pick than any of those guys that the Vikings took.
And we don't know enough about the Vikings to know what they were actually targeting or looking for. I guess it's the quarterbacks. If you scan down that list, what other quarterbacks got drafted besides Davis Mills?
No, but they had
Kirk Cousins.
But they
drafted the quarterback.
And that's the issue. They probably shouldn't have drafted a quarterback in the third round.
I see what you're saying, yeah. Right.
But I mean, I was just going from positional in terms of what they grabbed. They grabbed a quarterback first round. Was there any other quarterbacks besides Kellen Mond and Davis Mills that went in that draft?
I mean, Davis Mills would have been a better pick.
Davis Mills would have been a better pick.
Oops. Hang on. QB. There we go. No, there we go.
I want your...
This was the year Lawrence, Wilson, and Lance went 1, 2, 3.
That's crazy. There's our boy.
Fields.
Micah P.
Parsons. Oh, Micah P. Yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant Fields. There's our boy, Fields. I was like, Fields.
Jones.
Okay, so...
Trask, Mond, Davis, then Ian Brooks.
Yeah, Sam, so nothing.
I mean, no one.
No one.
They shouldn't have drafted a quarterback.
They shouldn't have drafted... Yeah.
They should have drafted Micah Parsons.
In the third round, there's other players that they could have. That's funny, though. It's just funny. No accountability at all.
No accountability.
got the fuck out of Dodge as soon as he was fired.
But... Look, he's obviously very spiteful, and so that could play out.
He's
obviously
reactive, too.
And he's reactive. And I don't mind a person who wears their emotions on their sleeves, especially it all really comes down to the respect players have for your coaching. And they can deal with a lot more when you're angry if they respect you and you're more of that tough love, because it's like, I don't want to disappoint my defensive coach. But when you don't have that respect... And that's what it seems like. Things kind of started to fall apart in Minnesota after that 2021 season or 2020 season, and then leading into 2021. I think that's kind of, at that point, you got to make a move, because it's very difficult for you to re-grasp a locker room without losing some key players so that you can do that, right? So if you're picking between three stars or one star even versus your coach after 5 years, you're probably easier to move on from your coach.
I think we re-missed his last quote, too. He said, and I'm not saying nothing was my fault. I'm sure there were plenty of things that were my fault. I've read or heard you guys say that differently.
We were laughing.
Don't say you
we
guys. Laughing. He said it, and I didn't correct you guys because I should have, but you guys were just going on.
Well, because he took accountability.
Yeah.
There, at least he did. He's a little bit.
But he's not saying, I mean, like, ideally, when they say it was toxic, he took it as, you're telling me that I was toxic.
Right.
The one player was just saying the environment was toxic, right? Coach is not talking to their GM, you're yelling every game.
Right.
Players are going to check out and be like, fuck it, if we tank, we'll get this fucker fired, and then we can get
don't know how you can have a team coexist when your GM and coach don't talk.
Exactly. Oh.
At that point, you fire both. And that's what they did. They fired both of them.
They had to.
You have to coexist. Your coach and your GM have to be on the same page.
And he spent, what, 5 or 6 years in
Yeah, and they had some good. They had some good seasons, too.
It'll be interesting to see, because he talked about Eric Kendricks.
Well, Kendricks probably called it, probably said.
Kendricks did call Zimmer out, but he was also very respectful with, like, the good things that happened, but he did mention some, basically kind of in the same line of this, like, obviously things started falling apart.
Obviously it wasn't bad enough, because who did they go and get to
Kendricks. Help?
Yeah, Kendricks.
So
yeah, exactly. And I think,
like, the Cowboys went and got Kendricks.
I think this is always inevitable in a team.
Especially even if you're losing.
Well, even if you win a Super Bowl 3 years later, if you haven't done enough, like, what's the easiest thing to do for a football team? Fire the coach.
Yeah.
Bring in
fire the GM.
Fire the GM. Fire the coach. Bring in new guys. It's much easier to do that than it is to, like, because if teams know you're trying to move on from a player, or, like, they're going to always ask for a little bit less than what you're looking for. So it
becomes you never want to show your hand regards.
And that's why everybody shits on the Cowboys, because he's the one GM that is unfireable, is fucking
Jerry
Jones.
I am the fucking Lord.
I am football.
And savior of Dallas.
I am football.
Well.
And then it's going to be fucking Stephen Jones. Do you think when Jerry passes away, Stephen Jones is going to take the GM position, or is he just going to go into owner?
He might.
Oh, you just kicked it again.
I did, but he might.
It's better now.
He might get Will McClay to be, like, the GM, but still have the final say.
Right.
Also, before we wrap up.
Before we
when's our Ken fan draft? I think it's going to be off.
It'll just have to be offline.
Offline this time. Or online, but off our show.
Yeah,
we're not going to be able to do our show.
I don't think we're going to be able to.
We waited too long. But you know what? I did send out an email, so I might just have to end up setting a date and hoping people show up.
Yep.
But you know who will be there? Bandwagon boys.
I think that's all we have to do. Can Fan Fantasy League Year 3?
Year 3, baby!
You guys won last year. I won the year before. We still haven't had to buy anyone a jersey.
No. We do a thing where we auto draft all the teams, and then it's just a random selection of who you get, and then you have to take it. It's like a scrum. You got to just take it and see if you can build out the team that way.
Oh fuck! I wouldn't. That would be an interesting.
That'd
be an interesting way to have nobody ever. No one cares
about their team.
That'd be an interesting way to have nobody participate.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Okay, guys, this was fun. A Sunday service. It's been a while since we've all been around to do the Sunday service. Not to mention there was preseason games. And going forward, well, there's going to be Cowboys football. So the Sunday service is just going to be wrapped into the game day streams.
Yep.
But we do have a very busy week for CanFan. We have the main event Wednesday night. And then we are live streaming the Thursday night NFL opener with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. But not only that, we are also going to live stream the
Packers-Eagles game on Friday.
The butt-packing Packers and the
bitch-ass
Eagles.
Bitch-ass shitty gals. All right, and if you know, we're going to lead out with the Eagles. If you know an Eagles fan out there who doesn't like the Dallas Cowboys, you go ahead and tell them to go
fuck themselves!
Here we go.
Woo! Football season, baby. Here we go.
We back.
I'm here.
And we out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.